Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ali. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Both the Ravens, nevermore.
It's time for the 10 best wrestling moments of 2019. I'm Ollie Davis. This is El Fakeador Laurie Blake, while we kick off with...
Number 10, ELP swearing at a baby.
It's not. We've got the list here. Well, that did not make the list.
What do you mean you've got a list? I wrote a list of 10 moments in wrestling that I thought were particularly brilliant this year.
And yeah, and we all looked at them as an office.
Number 10, ELP swears at a baby.
Number 10, a little bit of the bubbly. It was at the end of AEW All Out, the last pay-per-view of the pay-per-view era of that promotion. And it wasn't the best match. The inaugural World Championship match against Hangman Page, Jericho won, and we're all a bit like, okay. Yeah. Well, Jericho winning's probably the right choice.
Yeah.
And then he went backstage and just started improvising and cutting promos on anything he could see. And he created a meme.
I feel like everything that's happened since that moment, that like this was the sort of the creation of Le Champion and all of that stuff. Like, I don't think any of that was actually planned before he said a little bit of the bubbly. And then it was just, and that just steamrolled into everything AEW has done in the last 3 months. It's incredible.
I think he thought he'll be some iteration of the Painmaker, that serious gimmick that he had in New Japan because it's all Elite Wrestling. But no, in that moment, he created Le Champion, like you said. And that's what we've got. We've had some of the best comedy wrestling moments of the year. Mm-hmm. The Lexicon of Jericho. That promo that the rip up the parody of Cody's Road to Whatever It Was series.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Great work by Jericho.
What have we got at number 9?
At number 9! I think this is a seminal moment for wrestling in 2019. It's an elephant knocking Chris Brooks down with a football.
That's not what it is.
Having in DDT Pro. What an awesome promotion.
It's Keith Lee eliminates Seth Rollins.
God, you always want to do some Survivor sort of serious role. Keith Lee eliminates Seth Rollins in Survivor Theory.
It's that boy.
Boring. Football elephant.
You are a purveyor of negativity. This is the best wrestling moments. And you want to shoot on the best wrestling
moments.
Because
you don't want the best wrestling moments, which is an elephant shooting on Chris Brooks. Excuse me.
They never forget.
No.
Keith Lee, for whatever reason, ended up in the final two men of the main roster Survivor Series match. Team NXT versus Team Raw versus Team SmackDown. You look at that Team NXT, world champers lasting to the end.
Yes, yeah. That seemed to be sort of the, like, champer was being positioned as the guy to go against Rollins and Reigns as, like, heads of state for the three brands of WWE. And they just went, no, swerve. It's Keith Lee. Well, do you know what? Like, fair enough, because Keith Lee, in the run-up to this, had been basically the final shot of Raw, SmackDown, NXT for weeks. He'd been the one just every at the end of every episode. It's like, well, it's that time again. I'm going to do a flip. And then, yeah, I felt like this was... I never expected it to happen quite like that. And then when it did, I was so overwhelmed of like, oh my God, I saw you guys do the live reactions as well. And you were like, it's great, that's great, that's great.
It's because every moment it went on longer,
yeah,
it was another moment of impossibility, mm-hmm, in what I thought WWE would do. And although the Seth Rollins elimination is probably the most significant thing on paper, that near fall on Roman Reigns with the spirit bomb,
mm-hmm,
that was the biggest moment for me, just because I thought he might win it then.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Star was made. What have we got at number eight?
Number eight, it is Dave Bautista sliding into Dana Brooke's DMs live on Twitter for everyone to watch.
How many of these have you got?
I've got 10. I've told you, I've got a full 10.
We've already mentioned it. It's the Cody Rhodes promo on that Go Home episode to Full Gear, but it's a double entry because that was a promo of two halves. Cody's one in the ring, and Jericho's parody one, which was a play on the Road 2 documentaries they, mm-hmm, did.
I really, really like the Cody Rhodes promo. I think is a masterclass in fiery babyface promos. He captures like a magic I think that is just been missing from a lot of like wrestling television in that moment. Like, it's so well scripted, it's so amazingly delivered, it has all the sort of echoes of his father that you could possibly imagine. And then on that same episode, Jericho cuts across it just by like, and it's not obviously Jericho's video package wasn't a rip of that promo, but it was a rip of a heartfelt Cody Rhodes babyface video from what, the week before, was it, or like a couple of weeks before?
I think it was the first episode of Dynamite that promo ran, where Cody's sort of like questioning himself, and Jericho does one about what sort of bubbly they should drink in the after party after beating Cody at the pay per view.
It's and he used the whole inner circle in it. I love this Jake Hager just not saying anything, just like it was. So well done. That random neighbor as well,
his auntie's friend from church.
Yeah, it's really brilliant.
It was Sammy Guevara for me saying that Chris Jericho is the youngest World champion.
That's so funny.
Of course, he's the only champion. That's the joke. Speaking of jokes, what have we got at number seven?
I haven't got a number seven. I just skipped number seven on my list. I'll get you one. I'm going to go for... Number seven, really, I think a really important moment. It's Trevor Lee flipping that bottle at the Progress show.
Nobody knows about that, but that was incredible.
Yeah, so we at the Progress show, we saw Trevor Lee, like, he just flipped his water bottle and it landed on the apron upright perfectly. And all the crowd in the front row were like, oh my God. And as that happened, he just went...
He had to work so hard to be a heel after that because everyone just wanted to cheer it.
See? What a moment.
It was a moment. That is beyond Roman Reigns coming back from, mm-hmm, leukemia for me, really. But we've got to appeal to the masses.
Yes, well, that's it.
It's Finn Balor's heel turn at number seven.
Oh, I love this.
Mm.
In sort of things I never thought would happen in WWE, Finn Balor turning heel. I was so past it with it that it didn't even spring to mind when he went back to NXT and he was like, my future's going to become my past. I thought that was a babyface promo.
Yeah.
I was sitting there just being like, yeah, well, because obviously like his past was being NXT champion and having a really strong reign and all of that stuff. I didn't think past meant Japan and it meant being a heel. And then when it happened, I was like, oh my God, this is suddenly the most exciting TV show I've ever watched.
Yeah, it really... Finn Balor's heel turn can't be underestimated from that NXT AEW war. Mm. It's such like a big name thing to happen on the black and yellow brand. What I love about that, have you ever heard Finn Balor's interview about the production side of it?
Mm.
He turns heel and the original intention was to play no music and the whole crowd would just be booing him and you'll go off air with that sort of Ciampa level heat because that's, you know, he just beats down, mm-hmm, Gargano so much. But everyone was in such stunned, shocked silence. Someone in the production truck was like, we got to play some music. This is weird. So that, yeah, they play off with Balor's music at the end.
That I think that was amazing. I thought it was an amazing moment. I loved, the Pele kick is actually from out of nowhere and brilliantly done. But there was this incredible shot at the moment where, because it was built around the sort of Undisputed Era face-off as well, and Balor comes in and stands next to Cole, Ciampa and Gargano at that moment. And when he kicks Gargano, the Undisputed Era in the background, just slightly out of focus as a pack of hyenas, just jump Ciampa. And I was like, oh yeah, they're still just cut off the story that's going on. Like, it set off all this sort of chain reaction of possibilities where we were still until last week, still unpicking of like, where does Balor actually sit? What, who's he actually in it for? What's he actually going to do? Is he going to sign up with the Undisputed Era? That was a really exciting thing. What happens with Johnny? Johnny's just returned. Like, there is so many like little layers to this one scene, if you will, that happens in the ring that they've just gone like, well, now there's like five stories coming out of this one kick. I think it's incredible.
That's amazing storytelling. Speaking of Johnny, at number six, I'm going to get in there before you have a different entry.
Oh.
Johnny Gargano wins the NXT Championship, finally.
Oh, I thought this was wicked. And it's one of those, this is a sort of bittersweet moment in a sense that it was, I think, probably like the best takeover moment of the year.
And yeah.
Probably one of the best NXT moments of the year overall. However, it's bittersweet because you're just like, it could have been over Ciampa.
Mm.
It could have been those two having that 3-year feud that they've been having, whatever it is. Like, this could have been the culmination of that. And Johnny finally topples his greatest enemy to win the NXT Championship. However, in terms of, this isn't a match that they were supposed to have. This was a filler match they had to have an NXT title match and get a new champion because Ciampa had to go out for surgery. They built to this brilliantly. They played up like the kind of character that Johnny is, the hometown hero. They've got these promo packages of him running around the Cleveland Stadium doing all that stuff. They've got Cole on the other side being sneering and saying, I just deserve it more. You are just a loser. Like, I've had a brilliant record. I've done all this amazing stuff, which by and large he has in NXT. And then to build the match around the 2 out of 3 falls stipulation, and you do 2 falls that, you know, they don't really matter too much in the grand scheme of things, but they were realistically there to calm the crowd and ease the crowd into and like slowly work the crowd up into this frenzy so that when you get to fall three, which is, if you took it out of that match, an amazing wrestling match.
Yeah.
In that match, I think it's elevated because you have the back reference of like, it's desperate, it's desperate, it's desperate. Mm-hmm. This is, and it's so close in that final fall. That when that moment happens and Johnny, after having had the Undisputed Era high-low him, Cole hits him with multiple last shots and he keeps kicking out and he just won't go down. And then the Gargano escape gets locked in. He wrenches it, rolls him back into the middle of the ring, and Cole has no option but to tap. You're like, this is a moment that's, one, the culmination of like one person's entire wrestling journey within WWE. But also, after having what is one of the best matches of the year.
Yeah, and then at the end of it, he goes up to the ramp and Candice is there, of course, his real-life wife. But then so's Ciampa! Back from surgery already. And like the baby face turn of Ciampa, and they celebrate. And you know, like you appreciate it from a storyline character perspective, but you can also step back and go, these two guys killed each other for 3 years for our entertainment. Just made it all that better.
Yeah, and it's nice to see Ciampa involved in that moment as well. That's the big thing.
Number five.
Titus O'Neil sliding under the ring. Titus O'Neil.
It's not this year.
Yeah, but I watched it again this year.
It doesn't count. John Moxley making his debut in AEW at Double or Nothing.
I mean, it's no Titus O'Neil, but yeah, sure, it's...
We
filthy AEW mark. That's that bias coming through
they
again.
They pay the money.
Yeah.
We.
What about the greatest Royal Rumble, Ollie? That's what I say. What about the greatest Royal Rumble of 2018?
We were debating over which Moxley thing to include here, which was the Shoot podcast he did with, was it Jericho, wasn't it? Which is just a fascinating listen. Mm-hmm. That's where like the good S word thing comes from.
Yeah.
There was the promo package, which he released as soon as his WWE contract expired. You know, that one where he's breaking out of prison and he's chased by the dogs.
And the date's written on the wall. And it's a little bit cryptic.
I think that might be the best moment. But it cannot be denied when Moxley shows up at the end of that pay-per-view main event and just the swagger.
Mm-hmm.
The first time he really got to see what Moxley wanted to be in WWE as that heel character, and he's just become an absolute star since.
Yeah, it set off, I think, one of the biggest sort of comeback stories of the year in terms of just like character reinvention. I think, like, you know, Balor's had done a very similar thing in NXT, and Moxley is like, I think, what Balor hopes his would be. Like, you know, like, it's that level of, you took someone who I think most people in WWE were sort of over, really, because he'd been badly used, and just by leaving, just by being a little bit more of a hard bastard, everyone's suddenly like, you are the best thing in wrestling now.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see, like, Jon Moxley right at the top of the card in AEW and, like, going for the championship. Yeah. Like, that is going to be amazing. But this moment, I think, was the sort of when you were like, oh, I get who you are now. Mm. And it's inhabiting a character so perfectly.
Yeah, I don't think that, like, in my mind, they're not separate entities. Mm. That Jon Moxley is real.
Yeah.
He's just this scary guy that walks around AEW events. We're sticking with AEW for number four. And the most heart-wrenching moment of the year. I mean, this is my favourite match of the year as well.
Mm-hmm.
Cody and Dustin embracing after their match at Double or Nothing. Same pay-per-view, bloody hell. Embracing after that excellent match that they had. And Cody says to Dustin, I don't need a tag team partner, I need a brother. And Dustin stands up, he's covered in blood, and they hug. Oh,
gives you the feels, doesn't it?
So many feels.
I think, and it's that same. It's the same thing of why the Cody promo is on the list as well. It's Cody, clearly, and it runs in the family. It's an ability to tell a story in, like, either through the art of using words or through the art of wrestling, the art of movement. That match, like, I wouldn't say it's technically the most gifted wrestling match you've ever watched. Like, you watch what Will Ospreay can do and your mind boggles. You watch this and you go, this is like a really well worked wrestling match. But at every single point in it, the story shines through.
Yeah.
And also, just to consider, it's just like, it, you know, to all intents and purposes, it's just a match that's kind of been thrown together for something for the Rhodes brothers to do on a pay-per-view because they don't really have any proper stories going on. Like, I would just go, like, putting the two Rhodes brothers in a match together, to me, in my head, was just like, that's just something we do, obviously.
Yeah.
You would just do that.
But I think they've had that in their heads for years when they were together in WWE. There was always rumours that they had this WrestleMania match in their heads.
Yeah.
And they wanted to do it, but year after year, it just never quite made the card. And they finally got to do it here. And it was just, yeah.
And what, the covered in blood, like, that visual, like, them hugging. It's an amazing, amazing moment.
Something about the bleached blonde hair with blood on it.
Yeah. Well, the same.
It works. It pops.
The same thing if you wanted to go, like, you know, the chair shot heard around the world or whatever. Like, that, it's that same thing with Cody's hair. Like, in that looks so grisly because it's like when a polar bear eats a seal, isn't it? It's that same thing. That sort of fluffy white snout.
You've been killing animals again.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Number three, Kofi Kingston winning the WWE title at WrestleMania 35, which was the true main event of the show half the way in.
Yeah,
there was we had another 4 hours
really,
to
It's a really
through.
Good 3-hour pay-per-view.
Yeah.
But I, one of the things that I liked about WrestleMania in general is that it is your wish fulfillment WWE pay-per-view that I think everyone's been crying out for. I think it was one of the, you know, it came around the time, a few months later, like, sorry, 4 months after, that they'd been like, we're listening to you, we're going to change things up around here. And then, because they'd said that, they actually had to carry through on some of it. They tried as hard as they could to botch Becky's. And then with Kofi, they just had to do it.
Yeah.
And they were just sort of like, it was literally a groundswell of fan support that carried him from perennial mid-carder to main event player, because people just went, well, I just actually think it would be really good now. And you know what? It really was. Like,
they went with it. They went with the fan reaction. He organically got over in that gauntlet match when that was meant for Ali.
Yeah.
It was meant to be Mustafa Ali versus Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan wanted to build that star, but it just, this is the way the stars aligned, and Kofi got over. And to WWE's credit, which they never really do, they went with that momentum. And just that image of, like, I'm so happy for Kofi, but I'm almost more happy for Xavier Woods being happy for Kofi.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, to see both the New Day members around him holding him up high, and then Kofi's kids get in the ring.
And Xavier's crying, and, like, they made the T-shirts. And, like, there's, I think that, like, what's so good about this moment is that it's not just a great wrestling story. It's an amazing, like, there are so many facets of it that had to align for it to happen. Like, Mustafa Ali had to be injured and not in the gauntlet match, so Kofi had to be in there. People had to just get on him when they just, you know, they just went, well, we'll just do what we were going to do with Ali, but with Kofi. People had to get behind that. They get behind that. People then push and push and push and push and push, especially the New Day themselves pushing really hard for it to be like, let's go with this, let's do this thing. And then to build to a moment where there's been such disaffection for WWE and them continually swerving people, which is just going in their direction and not really going with anywhere the fans want them to go, that when they finally do go where the fans want them to go where an 11-year veteran wants them to go where his tag team, who have been toiling away as hard as possible on pre-shows for ages, want them to go, you just get this explosion of joy, essentially, of people just going like, I can't believe this has happened. And, you know, to their credit, they pulled it off, and WWE should and will replay that clip for years to come.
Oh yeah, it's got to be in the, it's in the opening sting, isn't it, as well?
Yeah. But it's the new Daniel Bryan.
I think what one of the things that most of these things on the list have in common is that that there is an element of reality about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Kofi Kingston win had all that genuine emotion of 10 years. The Cody and Dustin stuff was brotherly love. Now, at number two, we've got like a real thing.
Well, not and, to some portions of the internet.
It feels like it didn't happen. Like, it feels so long ago now. But in November 2018, I believe it was, Roman Reigns revealed that he was currently suffering and was diagnosed with leukemia after experiencing it once already as an early 20-something. And he, you know, never spoken about this. It was such a surprise. And he was out for, you know, months. And then out of nowhere on a February show, he'd come back and he announced that, yeah, I'm back, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, yeah, I don't know. It's, you're probably saying, well, that's a real life thing. It should be number one. And we wrestled with that. But we liked the one at number one so much, we kept that there.
Yeah, and I think I think it, like, you know, I don't want to be like things holding this story back. But things holding this story back was that Roman Reigns wasn't massively over when he went away. But like, I think this was a really honest, good moment in wrestling to address it in front of a crowd, for him to go away and do that, to come back and get a hero's welcome. And obviously Roman Reigns has done loads of good work with charities and stuff, for cancer treatment, for children, for all of the sort of myriad things that WWE stars do outside of just wrestling. And then I think what's so nice about this particular moment is that it kickstarts a revamp of Roman Reigns. And I think that's one that's paying off now. Like TLC, I would say the feud with King Corbin, not fantastic, not particularly well written. Like a lot of the jokes and the japes are a bit shit. But like
it's good S word.
Yeah, but but what I think that match showed was that Baron Corbin comes out and he's over as a heel. People don't like him.
Mm.
Roman Reigns comes out and gets this huge cheer. He is the baby face they wanted him to be all that time ago. And opening up and being a person allowed him to do that, I think. And that's the thing. It's like not just being the Superman character that WWE's always positioned you as. It was Roman Reigns or Joe, the guy, actually like being himself that allowed the fans to be like, oh, no, I'm going to care now.
Yeah, he was for so long just this corporate face
and
this over-pushed character. But then the reality seeped in and it made him a lot more three-dimensional and an easier guy to cheer for. But at number one, it's almost the complete opposite of everything we said. It's not something based on reality. It's not something that's really genuine. It's actually just one of the most inventive gimmicks of the last, well, ever.
Mm-hmm.
The last evers. It is, in a specific moment, The Fiend's full-on debut entrance. The match was good as well, but that entrance at SummerSlam against Finn Balor. Oh, do you remember the first, like, you know, the lights go down, chung, 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 and then it's let him in on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just the face. It's just that face of Bray Wyatt. And I remember us all watching it going, that's his head.
Mm-hmm.
That's Bray Wyatt's head. This gruesome light coming out of the lantern head. And then it took about a minute, because he was walking down very slowly, before we're like, that's a reworked version of his old entrance music.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hurt. Heel. And then when he gets in the ring and how he's listening to the hands, it's one of the greatest entrances in wrestling ever and probably the best re-debut of a wrestler ever.
I think what's brilliant about it is that it's so thought out and it's so complete a package. Like every single thing about the Firefly Funhouse in the build-up to this debut was back referential, going somewhere. Like all the puppets are obviously facets of old Bray characters, parts of his personality. Everyone Bray is feuded with has some sort of claim on Bray. The Fiend itself, this hurt and heal, and is obviously this kind of like reconciling of him as a man, as him as a wrestler, as him as a talent. And then you've got this reworked old theme that's like darker and more twisted. You've got the head, like every single facet of what The Fiend is and what Bray Wyatt's doing with it is literally sort of like his own weirdly essay on his own wrestling career in WWE. It's literally just like his sort of his think piece on like, well, you sort of ruined me, and so now all I can do is be this monster.
Yeah,
it's just genius. And it's a shame that the Seth Rollins Hell in a Cell match happened after this and sort of cut a little bit of the wind away from beneath the wings of that. But like everything up until this point, and this was the high point, I think, for The Fiend. Like this was the moment.
Pre-red light.
Yeah. The match was amazing. Mm. Had the Hell in a Cell match just ended with him winning the Universal title, it could have been just the most complete.
Oh, yeah. It'd be the hottest thing in wrestling still.
It's. I still think he's incredibly like over and really hot, but it just, this was like the high point of that.
It's easy to forget that Hell in a Cell match was the same week that NXT and AEW first went head-to-head. Mm-hmm. It was the first episode of SmackDown. Brock Lesnar beat Kofi Kingston. All of that stuff. But everyone was most excited about The Fiend at Hell in a Cell. More than AEW Dynamite's debut episode, I would argue. And it's off the back of this debut of The Fiend. Yeah. It's been a good year for wrestling.
It has, really.
It's been a weird year for wrestling. It's also been a bad year for wrestling.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.